What?
College matters.
What?
College matters. Matters.
Really?
For sure. College matters.
Alma matters. Matters.
We also, you know, have those interdisciplinary classroom experiences, which I think are very unique. When mm-hmm. when I talk to honors students and I ask them about their honors classes, that they are always the favorite classes because they're non-traditional. You're not filling out, you know, multiple choice exams. You're having conversations and you're writing thoughtfully, right, about the things that you're reading and discussing in class. So there, I think the experience is a more joyful academic experience.
That is Director Sandra Perez of the CSU Long Beach University Honors Program in California. Hello, I'm your host, Venkatraman. The University Honors Program at CSULB has been around for at least 3 decades and has grown organically. 3 years ago, Dr. Perez became the first full-time director of the Honors Program and started to give it cohesion, as she calls it. Prior to that, Dr. Perez was the director of the University Honors Program at CSU Fullerton. In this podcast, Director Perez introduces the University Honors Program at CSU Long Beach, honors courses, experiential programs, how to apply, scholarships, and career opportunities. Now, before we jump into the podcast, here are the high fives, 5 highlights from the podcast.
So we work in conjunction with general education courses, mm-hmm. Offering, you know, parallel small sections where the students have a lot of opportunity to engage with one another and talk to the faculty member. And then we round it out with a capstone project, a thesis or creative project that the student completes the senior year. And that's, you know, the gist of this program. Do we have our own courses? Yes, we do. One of them is University Honors 100, and, mm-hmm. and that course is Angles of Vision. Mm-hmm. And it's an exploration about how we see and understand the world differently depending on where you are positioned.
Yeah.
Right? So we talk about alternative realities and experiences in the world, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so it's, you know, again, it's very rich, it's interdisciplinary. So we had a student, an art student, who wanted to put together a book of illustrations,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
But then as the book was coming together, wanted to actually incorporate a story and target young children.
Mm.
So what started off as a collection of illustrations, right, for an art major became a children's book. Mm-hmm. The important application cycle or the most favorable one is the one that is opening February 1st and it will close March 1st. And the reason that that's the best one is because this is where we also offer the President Scholarship. Mm-hmm. The President Scholarship is the most prestigious and largest scholarship that CSU Long Beach offers,
mm-hmm.
Not to a lot of students, right? The honors experience is always an opportunity that opens more doors, and that's all. Right. It's just you've done this extra thing. It distinguishes you. Right. If the CSU, if this campus has 10,000 students graduating each year, well, 5% have been in the honors program. Right.
Yeah.
And so that's above and beyond what the others have done.
These were the high fives brought to you by
College Matters.
Alma Matters.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. For my newsletter, visit almamatters.substack.com. Now, I'm sure you want to hear the entire podcast with Director Perez. So without further ado, here is Director Sandra Perez.
If you're ready, we can jump right in.
I'm ready, Venkat, and thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I thought maybe the best place to start is tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, and then how you got to the position of director of the Honors Program here.
Sure. I will start by just sharing that I don't think my path is typical, for several reasons. So I am the fourth child of immigrants from Mexico. Mm-hmm. My parents had very limited schooling. My father, you know, barely a few months in his lifetime, and my mother finished sixth grade. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that was my context growing up. Yeah. And but I like school and I enjoyed it. And so I was born in the United States, started going to school. Mm-hmm. During my childhood, we moved to Mexico for a few years and then came back. Mm-hmm. So when I returned, right, it was a new challenge because I needed to sort of, you know, relearn or improve greatly my English speaking skills and writing skills. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, made my way through middle school, through high school. And it really was in high school that I was fortunate enough to be recruited by a program called MESA, Mathematics, Engineering, Science Achievement. Mm-hmm. And that program is the one that exposed me to higher ed, right? Mm-hmm. So encouraged me to think about college, would take a group of us to visit different campuses. It was based at UC Santa Barbara. Mm-hmm. And so would take us to the university and show us labs and, you know, really opened up that world for me. Mm-hmm. With their support, I went ahead and applied to college, and I was very fortunate to receive a full scholarship to attend the University of San Diego. Mm-hmm. And I was initially an engineering student, right? And then, you know, my path goes from there. I started in engineering. I wasn't enjoying it that much. I switched to math, and then, you know, kept going. Ended up as a double major, English, Spanish. Mm-hmm. And during my time at the University of San Diego, I sort of reconnected with the Spanish language. Yeah. I did study abroad in Spain. And that's what I discovered was a passion for me, literature, culture, and both languages and both identities. Yeah. So that was important. And I had a really great professor from Chile in San Diego who supported me in sort of doing independent studies.
Yeah.
I was in a composition class with him, and I didn't find it very challenging. So I asked if he could help me, you know, read more sophisticated pieces and write more. And so with his support, you know, completed that, ended up applying to graduate school, and I was fortunate to be accepted to UCLA. Mm-hmm. Went to UCLA for both my master's and doctorate, and completed in Hispanic languages and literatures. So, you know, that was my path as a student. From there, I hadn't quite finished my dissertation, but I applied for a job. Mm-hmm. I applied for three local jobs, right? And in my mind, I was practicing for the job market. Yeah. But I ended up being offered a position at California State University Fullerton, and that's where I started in 2000 as a faculty member in the Department of Modern Languages. Mm. My second year there, I was invited to take over the Latin American Studies program, and I very much enjoyed that for its interdisciplinary nature.
Yeah.
And that sort of also got me connected to the world of honors, because as the coordinator of Latin American Studies, I had mentees who were studying about Latin America. One student focused on Mexico, another one focused on Guatemala and Belize. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, just loved the work. Eventually, a position opened up at Fullerton. I applied for it and received, you know, that position. So that's in 2015, right? My journey as University Honors Program director began at that campus.
Yeah.
And then after 6 years, I moved here to CSULB as honors director. And here I am.
So tell us a little bit about the honors program at LB. How did it get started, or how long it's been in sort of operation, if you will?
Sure. So the program here, what I know of its origins is that it's been around for decades, at least three decades, and it's been a program that's existed for a long time, but it's been built piece by piece. I started here 3 years ago, and I am the first full-time director of this program. So that gives you a sense of where it's been, right? Mm-hmm. It had, and it continues to have several staff members with background in student affairs. And so they were really the ones full-time, leading and caring for the program. So the program is very big. It's very diverse. It serves about 1,200 students at the moment. Mm-hmm. But from my perspective coming in, it needed some cohesion because of that past of having bits and pieces built with interim and part-time directors.
Right,
the faculty. In honors, when you hear honors college, honors program, we all use those terms in the United States, but they mean something very different at each campus.
Right.
So both at Fullerton and here, the programs are general education based. Mm-hmm. So the idea is that a student will complete general education requirements and get credit for honors at the same time. And that's really important because one of the goals, right, and one of the issues is to make sure that students are graduating on time.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want, right, we don't want to create a program that's going to make students, have to take an extra year or two to graduate. So we work in conjunction with general education courses, offering, parallel small sections. Where the students have a lot of opportunity to engage with one another and talk to the faculty member. And then we round it out with a capstone project, a thesis or creative project that the student completes the senior year. And that's, the gist of this program. Beyond that, right, and this is where you see the student affairs impact on this program, it has a very strong leadership building component, and we have an associate director who's specifically dedicated to leadership development. We also have community service opportunities. We have honors housing on campus. We have the opportunity for students to complete a global emphasis track, which is attractive to our students who are interested in international issues. And we also we have an award-winning magazine, The Honor Code. And so it's a great way for our more creative students to publish poetry or show us, their jewelry or the things that they make. And we always highlight, different types of students, creative students, science students, study abroad experiences. But this is also a great way to get involved if you enjoy photography or writing or editing.
Starting with the courses, do you have, as part of the Gen Ed, any specific courses that are tailored for honors, or are you piggybacking on the courses that already exist?
Both, really. We do pull from existing courses, but particularly here at Long Beach, I have this great opportunity, right, to collaborate with any department, with any college, and offer any course, provided that it gives GE credit, right? And so I don't know how familiar or not listeners will be with general education, but they're categories. And in each category, right, there's certain courses that fulfill that requirement.
Sure.
So in my work, I just pay attention to making sure that we offer a wide breadth of GE categories, and then we go from there, right? So, you know, do we take from current GE? Yes. And an example would be, you know, Psychology 100, Political Science 100. And instead of being in a class with 250 students, right, you get to be in a class of 25 and have more intimate conversation. Do we have our own courses? Yes, we do. One of them is University Honors 100, and, and that course is Angles of Vision. And it's an exploration about how we see and understand the world differently depending on where you are positioned.
Yeah.
Right? So we talk about alternative realities and experiences in the world, right? And so it's, you know, again, it's very rich, it's interdisciplinary. The students are in class with, you know, the biology students, with the engineering students, with the health science students. And so very great way to talk, to understand across disciplines and you know, different values, I guess.
So how many such courses do you have during their time at CSU? How many courses do they have to take from the honors program?
So this particular program has a lot going on. And we actually have Plan 1 and Plan 2. And Plan 1 is meant for incoming students, and they complete 21 units. 15 units are honors GE, so that's five classes. And 6 units is the thesis component. Plan two is meant more for transfer students, and it's about 15 units. And again, it's 9 units of honors GE, and then the 6 units of thesis. So, you know, students can be in plan one or plan two. We also have 3 different tracks. We have a general track for all students, and then we have a partnership with the College of Engineering and an engineering track. And so if you are admitted into that one, you can, you know, do a more focused engineering, you know, aerospace engineering, biomedical engineering, honors track. And then the same with the College of Business. We have a specific business track. And so students who are interested in management, finance, accounting, right, any of those majors can choose that track as well.
So, you know, maybe before we move forward, what's popular? I mean, what are you finding with your students? What, I mean, which track or which of these three?
So we have a very large number of engineering and computer science students. So that's that, we have a lot of representation there. We have a lot of nursing students and psychology students. As might be expected. We also, I was, you know, this surprised me, we have quite a few criminal justice students. And we also have a significant number of kinesiology students. So, and, you know, also in the natural sciences, right, biology is a very popular major.
Let's talk a little bit about the experiential aspect. I mean, you obviously mentioned thesis. And then I don't know if the global emphasis has a study abroad component, or you probably, so what are the experiential aspects of the programs that you're able to offer?
Yeah, so definitely we support study abroad. And for students interested in global emphasis, we encourage them to study abroad. And we do have a small scholarship to help our students and encourage our students to do that. And you can only apply to this scholarship if you are an honors student. Beyond that, we collaborate with the Office of International the Office for International Students. We do have a small percentage of international students in our program. And we very much enjoy conversations with our international students and sharing. We last year we had a student from Israel who was here, and we used our dorm kitchen to allow the student who wanted to, it wasn't my idea, it was the student's idea, but the student wanted to cook with a group of honor students and share a meal. Wow. And so they had a great time putting together an Israeli meal and shared it. And it was lovely, right? I stopped in just to say hello. but these are the sorts of things that are really amazing, right? That the honors programs will create a space for the student to be in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
And so if you are interested in something, if you are curious, if you want to learn more about something, this is the space to do that. Mm-hmm. I find that our campus, for example, has many, many undergraduate research opportunities.
Yeah.
But ours is the only one that allows a student to pick and choose what they want to learn.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's really fantastic. We also, right, in terms of experiential learning, there are some students who really enjoy community focused learning, and so we support that. In the past, we had our students working with a local organic farmer mm-hmm. who would sell his produce at the farmer's market, and so the students would go and help out right at the mm-hmm. farm mm-hmm. For a few hours when they could.
Sure.
Also do beach cleanups and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
We have a shark lab on campus and a rocket lab. And so sometimes our experiential learning will be visiting these different places around campus. Our students also get to go, for example, to the LA Opera, the Dorothy Chandler Pavilion, and experience, culture in that way. So it's about taking advantage of the traditional learning that a classroom has to offer, mm-hmm. but also understanding that learning happens every day, all the time, in all spaces, and embracing that and exploring that. And so, that's we support those experiences and then allow our students to lead, right? So had a group of Asian and Pacific Islander students who wanted to attend a local conference. And I said, sure, right? And our agreement was that honors would pay for them to go to this conference, and then the students would come back and share what they learned with our community.
You mentioned the thesis, and it sounds like that's mandatory as part of the honors program. Now, what kind of stuff do students do there? Is that from their undergraduate research, or is that a separate thing?
So again, right, honors being honors, the student gets to choose. If the student is, for example, a biology major, and they are already in a lab looking at a particular cell or studying, doing research related to cancer, diabetes, or whatever it is, the mm-hmm. student can choose to continue that for their honors thesis. That's totally fine.
Okay.
But they can also choose, their own path, their own discovery through the honors program. And so we had a student, an art student, who wanted to put together a book of illustrations, mm-hmm, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then as the book was coming together, wanted to actually incorporate a story and target young children. So what started off as a collection of illustrations, right, for an art major became a children's book, right? And so that's a very unique project that the student decided to do. So we give that freedom, right, where you can also do a hybrid project, right? And here I'm thinking of a communicative disorders major who was working in our community and noticing that there were a lot of Vietnamese American young kids, right, who were struggling with English only or English dominant models.
Mm-hmm.
And so this student is bilingual English Vietnamese, and the student created a word less, so a book with no words.
Yeah.
To specifically help Vietnamese children in the schools.
Now, let me ask you, what fraction of the honor students do these different things? I mean, if you were to guess, how many do undergraduate research? How many study abroad?
Yeah, so study abroad is a smaller percentage just because of the cost, right? For sure. Many of our students, it's prohibitive to go abroad. Yes. So maybe, you know, of our total students, maybe I would say no more than 10% go abroad. You know, and I would love to increase that with time. I hope to do that.
Sure.
And I'm sorry, what was the other part of your question?
Oh, I was just wondering about undergraduate research. How many students do that?
Yeah, so there they don't get a choice.
Okay.
Yeah, because either, you know, traditional research or creative expression are mandatory, right? So if you're going to participate in this program, you're obligated to do that. And many honors programs in the United States don't have that. They've done away with it, right? Because it's daunting. It's a little bit scary. It's, you know, it's a lot for a young person of 20 some years, right, to take on a year long project. However, right, I am a firm believer in the thesis or creative project because I see the outcome and I see the impact that it has in students' future, and it's amazing, right? So I always tell students that, you know, this is an opportunity to propel yourself, you know, in the direction that you want to go professionally.
You know, that's absolutely right. In fact, I've done a number of stories on undergraduate research over the last year and a half, and one of the things that almost every student who's gone through it talks about, you know, how it has sort of helped them not just do their research, but change their educational career trajectory.
I will just add that what I find is helpful to undergraduate students is when I tell them it's okay to fail, right? If you do it, if you take a risk and do an experiment and it fails, that's totally fine because the learning is still happening, right? And your conclusion, just tell me what you would have done differently next time, right? And I think there's value in that, right? That this is really the only space where you can look into the things and explore and fail. It's totally fine.
I was going to say that if you were to try and just capture the benefits of the honors program in the college, what would some of those points be?
So honors gives you access to more resources. It gives you priority registration, which is huge, especially in our large, you know, comprehensive university campuses. The honors program allows you, right, to day one of the registration process, you can go ahead and sign up for all the classes you need, not just honors, right, but all the classes you need. So our students have that benefit of being able to pick and choose, right, the classes they want, the faculty, the days, the times. And that's a huge benefit, right, especially with how busy students are and trying to balance work and familial obligations with their studies. We also, you know, have those interdisciplinary classroom experiences, which I think are very unique. When I talk to honor students and I ask them about their honors classes, that they are always the favorite classes because they're non-traditional. You're not filling out, you know, multiple choice exams. You're having conversations and you're writing thoughtfully, right, about the things that you're reading and discussing in class. So I think the experience is a more joyful academic experience. And I think that the thesis and creative project opportunity really does make a difference, right? In my experience, 95% of students who go ahead and complete this will end up going to, you know, to getting the job that they want through the work that they have completed, or getting into the grad program, their first or second choice, right? So that's amazing. That's amazing.
Sure. So what do students have to do to get into the program? What do they require? What is required of them?
Just an application. And it's a simple application. Students can join this program in the fall, and then there are two application cycles in the spring. Mm-hmm. The important application cycle, or the most favorable one, is the one that is opening February 1st, and it will close mm-hmm. March 1st. And the reason that that's the best one is because this is where we also offer the President Scholarship. Mm-hmm. The President Scholarship is the most prestigious and largest scholarship that CSU Long Beach offers. Mm-hmm. Not to a lot of students, right? So you have mm-hmm. to apply in that cycle to be considered for the President's Scholarship. Mm. You know, and very simple, you just go to www.csulb.edu/honors, and the mm-hmm. application is there.
Cool. Now this is, so when students apply to CSU and CSULB, as part of that, are they able to check off a box to be considered, or is that
separate?
Okay.
Yeah, and so we definitely work with our admissions office, and mm-hmm. we do only consider students who have been accepted to CSULB. So it's okay. not possible, right, to apply to honors and get accepted to honors and not to the university.
Got it.
So we
got it.
Yeah.
So what happens? So the students apply, let's say they enroll in fall to CSULB, and at that time they may not be in the honors program, and then they go ahead and apply in this time frame, in the February to March.
So right now our admissions office, right, has record of all the students who have applied to our campus for fall 2024.
Okay.
Yeah, so they will reach out, right, to students who have applied for fall 2024, and so we onboard them in the summer.
Okay, got it. Okay, mm-hmm. So basically, just to clarify, so students would have applied through the normal process, you know, by the deadline, whenever, early January or end of December, and then for 2024, and then they go ahead and do a supplemental or a new application for the honors program, and that would be
correct.
between February and March. Okay.
Yes. And if you know, if they miss that deadline, we run a second application cycle, and they're still, you know, they can still be admitted into the honors program. There's just the President Scholarship is no longer an option for that third cycle.
What criteria or you know, what are some of the top criteria for acceptance into the honors program?
Yeah, so previously, and I can say this was a trend nationally, right? It was really yeah. important to have super high SAT, ACT scores. It was really important to have a high GPA. Mm-hmm. Our requirement is simply that you have at least a 3.5 GPA. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, I think most students who are applying to college have that GPA. So mm-hmm. the it's not a very rigorous ask in terms of eligibility. Mm-hmm. Students do need to respond to a couple of essay questions.
Okay.
They are brief. You know, we hope the students will take the time and you know, provide a thoughtful response. But it's not, again, a super demanding essay that they need to write. And that's it, right? Just fill out our application, complete the essay portion. For the President Scholarship round, students do need to have letters of rec. Mm-hmm. So they just need to plan ahead and ask their teachers or counselors to please write the letter, you know, send the reminder. The student provides the email address of the person, and then, you know, we request the letter of rec.
Now, you mentioned, I think, at the outset that some 1,200 students are in the program, right?
Yes.
Around that. Now, so that's some total 1,200, or is that 1,200 per year?
Some total. And okay. so I am trying to grow the program. Our target number is we would like to to grow to 1,600 students. Mm-hmm. And so right now we are admitting 450 students as, you know, incoming students.
Let's talk about scholarships. You mentioned the presidential scholarship. That is a big one. What are things that other kinds of financial scholarships that students might apply for or get within the university?
So there are many, and I, you know, unfortunately, I'm not knowledgeable about all of them. But there are many, and most universities will have a database where students can search, because scholarships can be very specific, right? You have to be this major from this background. But students can and should do that search, because what I do know is that many scholarships have no applicants or minimal applicants, right? And that's so unfortunate. It's money just sitting there. You know, it may or may not be based on need. Sometimes, you know, it's just, like I said, particular major, particular background. And so within honors in our president scholarship, right, some of those are for specific types of students, you know, from particular colleges or majors. You know, but beyond that, our honor students can apply for that study abroad scholarship I mentioned.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then beyond that, I know every single college has specific scholarships. So I just, you know, I would just encourage students to take the time and look into that.
And then for research, there are grants that that you provide, or does that come from the labs, or how does that work?
So research, the students are getting credit through classes in the University Honors Program for the research that they do. Mm-hmm. But we do have many research programs on campus, and there are some that will pay students to participate, right? Specifically in the summertime, or, you know, as a freshman or a sophomore, if they participate, they get a certain amount of funding. For students who know about or want to know about, you know, for example, the McNair Scholars, we partner with McNair Scholars, right? And they have great funding. We also partner with Mellon Mays Undergraduate Fellows, right? And they have specific funding. So there are a lot of resources out there for students.
So you have all these wonderful students graduating, and what kind of opportunities do you see them gravitating towards, and as compared to non-honors graduates? I mean, what are you finding?
What I'm finding is what I mentioned earlier, right? That these students are able to sort of go the path that they chose, right? Mm-hmm. That they wanted from the beginning. And it's so wonderful and fulfilling to me, right? To see the student who wanted to, you know, go on to UCI to become a researcher in physics, right? Awesome. Mm-hmm. So the student finishes our program and off they go to a master's and PhD in physics.
Sure.
I see students who finish as art students, right, and get jobs with, you know, DreamWorks or some of the local studios to be illustrators, and that's amazing. Also see students, you know, who create their own paths, right? They start up companies, or you know, just they start restaurants, whatever it is that they wanted to do.
Sure.
But the honors experience is always an opportunity that opens more doors, and that's all, right? It's just, you've done this extra thing. It distinguishes you, right? If the CSU, if this campus has 10,000 students graduating each year, well, 5% have been in the honors program, right?
Yeah.
And so that's above and beyond what the others have done.
No, that's absolutely. Now, what students do you find go to grad school as opposed to industry?
So typically, you know, students in the liberal arts, will go on to grad school, students in health and human services, right? Maybe public health, they'll go to grad school. And the students who tend to go into industry will be your computer science engineering students, art yeah. students. The scientists also typically are going on to grad school, medical school, you know, veterinarian school, whatever it is that they want to do. And so, you know, that's sort of how things are set up. But things are changing all the time, as you know, in higher yeah. ed, and new fields are being developed and more hybrid programs.
Yeah.
And so I'm super excited, right, that starting next year, we will have more programs that combine undergraduate and grad degrees. Yeah. And you can complete that in 5 years, right? So that's yeah. amazing.
We're going to start winding down, Sandra, but before I let you go, some advice for high schoolers. What would you tell the high schoolers of today? I mean, you've had a great experience both in school and in college. So that, and then your roles that you've played in various colleges and universities, and now the honors program.
Yeah, so I was fortunate in that because my parents were not college graduates, right? They didn't really know much, or they didn't know much, and so they didn't pressure me to do X or Y. And so my thoughts for current high schoolers is to try to fend off that pressure to please others, mm-hmm. right? Or to do things to comply with expectations. I think all of us thrive when we are allowed to be ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so I encourage them to be themselves and to really pay attention to where their interests lie academically, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And to seek professions where those things align for students. The student who's told by the parent you must be a business student and they hate business and they muddle through and they're so unhappy. And I just, that's tragic to me, right? I think there's space in the world for everyone's talents and interests. And I think they should be followed and nurtured and pursued.
Got it. So Sandra, this has been a great conversation. Thank you so much for sharing the CSULB Honors Program. I think sounds like a great program, and I'd love to talk to a couple of students or alums from the program as part of one of my podcasts. So
we can do that. We can do that. Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So very well, I'll sign off here. Thank you so much again, and be safe. Take care, and we'll talk soon.
Sounds good, Venkat. You take care as well. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Hi again. Hope you enjoyed our podcast with University Honors Program Director Sandra Perez at CSU Long Beach. Specifically, Dean Perez covered interdisciplinary honors courses, seminar-style discussions, thesis, undergraduate research and study abroad programs, how to apply, presidential scholarships, and finally, career opportunities. I hope you explore the University Honors Program at CSU Long Beach for your own undergraduate studies. For your questions or comments on this podcast, please email podcast@almamatters.io. Thank you all so much for listening to our podcast today. Transcripts for this podcast and previous podcasts are on almamatters.io/podcasts. To stay connected with us, subscribe to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify, or visit anchor.fm/almamatters to check us out. Till we meet again, take care and be safe. Thank you.
College matters.
Alma matters.